Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Anti-Capitalist Report. We are hating freedom today, and I've got one of my favorite freedom haters on the line. She's the Miss Andre Queen. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, so you just made waves on the internet because you shared a meme was shared, and you had a new iPhone case that said, fuck capitalism. What the heck, man? Everybody's so mad, but it's just true, right? We need to bring down the system.
I don't know what they're so mad about. It's just I'm really passionate about anti-capitalism. I don't understand the big deal. Everybody's saying she doesn't understand. She doesn't get the irony. Wow, it's just, it's amazing.
They just don't understand. Like, if everybody ate at Whole Foods like us and shopped at the grocery stores that we do and only ate organics, we could have world peace.
Exactly. But I don't understand why everybody's so mad. I just, haters everywhere.
They don't understand. But listen, I actually have a secret to tell you, Miss Andre Queen. Like, all your man-hating stuff, it's over. I'm Austin Peterson, a libertarian, and you are busted.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm from Libertarian Republic, and you are busted.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. We write for the same website, but I didn't recognize you, and I shared your meme because I thought that you actually hated capitalism. How could I be so stupid?
I can't believe you actually shared that, though. That was hilarious.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and my special guest today is one of my favorite people in the whole world, a rising star. Her name is June Lapine, also known as Shoe on Head. Shoe, welcome to the Freedom Report.
Hello.
Hey. So I've decided to wear the wig, so that's why I got, like, the wig hair today. It's kind of bad. But nobody's going to be looking at me anyway. Everybody comes to see the beautiful June. So, June, I'm glad to have you back today.
Cool. I'm glad to be here. That was so awkward. I, like, turned on this hangout, and he had a pink wig on.
So, yeah, exactly. It was a little weird, but I just wanted to surprise you. But let me just go ahead and stop with a little not the nonsense for a moment before we discuss the nonsense, and let me set up the scene for the audience here. So, Miss Shu, who is our guest here today, posted a photograph of herself on her Twitter account. And this Twitter account is a satire account called Miss Andre Queen. And she posted a picture of herself with an iPhone that said, fuck capitalism. And it was obviously a joke because she said she got a new iPhone case, but all it was a post-it on the back of her Apple iPhone. Now, anybody who saw something like that should have gone, it's not an iPhone case. That girl looks sort of familiar. You know, they didn't have any context, June, but you would think that by the fact that all of the little clues that you were giving away that they would have gotten it. I mean, I guess my first question to you would be is, do you think that, like, The Onion and other satirical news sources, people like yourself, is there a burden of responsibility on people like you to tell people that you're joking?
No, I think it's actually, like, I think the clever people will catch on, and then the not-so-clever people will get mad. But, like, I mean, there's something called Poe's Law, where it's like there's so much ridiculous people in the world that it's sometimes hard to find out what's satire and what's not. But I got the idea because that tag, that hashtag resist capitalism, actually exists. And I just was picturing everybody who was tweeting about it was on an iPhone, basically. I was just imagining that, like, one of the most capitalist, like, successful businesses. And I just put a sticker right under there. I made it purposely so it was right under the Apple symbol. And, yeah, it just made people really mad.
No, I love this. I love stuff like this because I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily an anti-feminist, but you're a feminist critic. You're a feminist critic who trolled feminist critics. And you're causing people to question. You brought up Poe's Law here, and I want you to expand on that. So, June, if you wouldn't mind, can you tell me, what is Poe's Law? What does that mean? I think more people need to know about this.
Like I said, it's I forgot, like, the actual, like, where the name comes from. So
I'm pulling it up right now, actually.
But it's basically, like, because I know that there's so much ridiculous, like, I guess feminists, extreme leftists that say the most ridiculous things, and extreme right people too, there's always, but it's hard to tell who's joking, who's doing a satire of it, and who's serious. because a lot of the posts that I write on Misandry Queen Twitter were actually based off real tweets I've seen from people that were 100% serious. So it's a little it's hard to tell for some people. If you see, if you know how ridiculous a lot of these people on social media are, it's hard to tell when someone's serious and when someone's joking. But I tried to make it obvious. Like, that whole Twitter, I try to make it very, very obvious that it's a joke. Because I like when people...
sort of a, yeah, literary adage. And it stipulates that without a clear indicator of an author's intention, it's often impossible to tell the difference between an expression of sincere extremism and a parody of such extremism. So the idea is that, you know, you could be using sarcastic remarks, but unless you have a little smiley face emoticon next to it, people are so crazy. There are so many radicals. There are so many wild feminist radicals of the kind that you criticize, that people are confused with you and the real thing. And it does say a lot about how extreme the feminist radicals are, but it does also shine a light on what I like to call, you know, the old Mark Twain adage there, that a lie goes around the world twice before the truth has a chance to get its shoes on. And it's true. I mean, what's basically happened is that you've become a poster child for the idiot left that you argue against. Go ahead.
I tried to make it a little obvious. In the bio on Twitter, she has her preferred pronouns, which are she, her, and Poe. And and if people look at it, they'll be like, "Oh, okay, like it's a joke." Because sometimes I think it's a little unfair if you make a satire of some group and. They'll, like, people will be, like, spreading it around and be like, oh, they're so stupid, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I want people to know that it's satire. I don't want to, like, try to blend in with that actual group because it's kind of, like, you know, just, like,
Yeah, it can be, you know, picking on the, they call it picking on the retards, really. But the thing is that it's the, you know, look at The Onion, for example. There's plenty of clues there, but some people, like, they demand that The Onion should be labeled clearly a satire. And Facebook actually was going to experiment for a little while with marking that stuff, you know, so that people wouldn't be confused.
Yeah, they forced them to put satire in parentheses or something. Wasn't that it?
They were going to, like, they started it, but there was such a backlash. People were like, no, stop teaching to the D students. You know what I mean? Yeah, there was a backlash against it. I personally don't think I do a lot of teaching to the B students, which makes some of my A students kind of angry. But I think it's important to break down ideas because, you know, sometimes you do have to kind of handhold people. But other times I sort of feel like that which does not kill us makes us stronger. That things like this can be lessons that we have to do a little bit more research now. You're a young gal. You don't have like a degree in gender studies or anything like that. But you seem to have a very thorough grasp of what's going on. I see that you're reading Christina Hoff Sommers. I saw your hilarious video of you with like all the little like scratches in the side of the Christina Hoff Sommers video about how they were angry about what they were reading in her book and how unhappy their lives must have been. But June, can you tell us? Yeah. Look at that.
It's just like a bunch of ranting on the book. Yeah.
So you didn't need a degree in gender studies to be able to understand things like the economic problems of like the gender wage gap and other issues. June, how did you get so smart? What's your research process like?
Having no life and sitting on the internet all day.
And a million lonely dweebs, winning the hearts of a million dweebs.
I don't know. It's just like I'm very... I'm actually a pretty oblivious person, but I'm pretty, I don't know, I pick up things around me, and I'm being on social media and being on the internet doing my own research and stuff, I just notice the stupidity around me, and, yep.
All right, now, speaking of picking on retards, one of the things that I like to do quite frequently is to pick on conspiracy theorists, because I see them as being pretty damn dumb, and the reason why is because they use so many fallacious thinkings. They use holes in logic, they use confirmation bias, they use absence of evidence as evidence of absence, and other things. And one of the big, most prominent conspiracy theorists, probably the biggest name in conspiracy theories right after Alex Jones, is a man by the name of Paul Joseph Watson. Paul Joseph Watson was one of the main, he was the guy whose article that, or excuse me, picture that I shared from, and there's no clear indicator whether he knew that you were teasing or not. But, you know, so when somebody seems to make those kinds of, like, those errors in logic over and over again, I don't know if I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I didn't even notice that he was the guy. That's hilarious. I don't even know what to say
but
about
that. You must have read some of the comments.
I did. That was funny.
What was your reaction to what people said?
I love how they keep saying, oh, the irony is flying right past her. She's so oblivious. And it's like, so the irony's on them by even saying that. It's very, very a meta situation.
It's very meta. It's very meta. They were guilty of exactly what they were claiming.
And a lot of people caught on, though, but a lot of other people are saying that they think the phone is fake. They're like, oh, I don't see right through it, but the little apple symbol is reflective. So they thought they could see my hair through the phone. That's one of the comments that keeps popping up. So that's annoying, but yeah, they're all like, oh, the irony is killing me. Like, that's the point. That's the joke. I'm glad you understand the joke.
I don't know what it is, but you are so tremendously good at getting under people's skin and almost as good at getting under people's skin as me. I think this was really a teaching moment for everybody. And I don't know if the internet is going to, like, figure it out, because even though we're doing this podcast, June, I wonder if they're, like I said, it's just more interesting to believe something that isn't true. You know, it's,
I hope that, they can find the Twitter and then see that it's a joke, because a lot of the other stuff I've been saying is very clearly a joke, so they'll catch on. But it's kind of funny, though. I do like when people know it's a joke more than they don't, because then they start playing along. Like, yeah, you go, girl! Like,
it is fun when you have your little fun little trolls that are on your side, and then they can go out there and kind of, like, do battle for you on these kinds of things. But, you know, again, I think it's I'm going to link to everything in the blog post that's coming out first thing on the Monday morning with the audio version of this as well as the video. So I'll be linking to your Misandry Queen Twitter, and I'll be telling the whole story of exactly, you know, how you trolled everybody and sort of, like, detailing the fallout. But when you see things like this and people are going, you know, out of their way, I mean, do you think – I mean, I guess my question is deep down, I mean, does this mean that, like, sort of what we're doing is like, by trying to educate people through the use of satire, the Jon Stewart approach. Do you think that it's a net win or is it a net loss?
I'm really not sure. I mean, I'm just doing it for fun. So, because I know that I'm going to start making videos with her. But I think it's a win. I think the people who it will open some eyes and be like, oh, it is kind of ridiculous. Like, I'm not sure if it's a net win.
Yeah, you know, just personally, I tend to like the approach of people like Jon Stewart and John Oliver, and I think that they're not libertarians. I don't think they quite understand the principles of individual liberty, such as maybe perhaps you and I do from an economic standpoint. But I think that that approach is the proper way to do it. You know, some people have already started, you know, comparing you to popular, hilarious, you know, pro-feminist YouTube bloggers, and it's kind of nice to see that there's, for every action, there's kind of an equal and opposite reaction, and there are people out there like, oh, the Food Babe, for example, and Dr. Oz, for example, and these are people who I would describe as mountebanks, sellers of snake oil, and for a while, they really had a lot of power, they had a lot of sway, people who were selling false notions of reality. And now we see the rise of YouTube personalities, of people who come out like Science Babe and other popular personalities starting to rise up, people such as yourself, to criticize the dogma that we see from these kooks, cranks, weirdos, and conspiracy theorists. But it's interesting to me now that in society we have a sort of a balance where, you know, there'll be, you know, for a long time people get away with saying a lot of hooey and a lot of BS, but now the internet and YouTube allows for people like yourself and myself to kind of debunk it. We just kind of have to help. Go ahead.
I get a lot of comments that are like, oh, why do you care? Like, why do you talk about this? Like, who cares? Just let them be crazy. But if you let them do it, they'll take over. They'll, like, and there'll be no other opposing voice. You have to have, like, equal sides to different things.
Oh, June, and of course, you're brilliant again on the right point. There was a famous quote, an ancient Greek philosopher, I can't remember who it was, that said, the price of not getting involved in politics is being ruled by your inferiors. And when you see the popularity of people like Food Babe online, I mean, you certainly think, oh my God, you know, are we going to let these people be the ones who drive the conversation about organic food and all of these sorts of things? What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. One of the biggest, like, eye-openers I had recently was, I think I talked about this last time, but actually made an article about it, when the honey badgers got kicked out of an expo for just having a different opinion than other people. That was
right.
One of the things, and I was like, this is why I talk about this. Like, because it will just get worse and worse, and their agendas are a little louder than everybody else's. You gotta have equal, you gotta have both voices, both sides, so people who are neutral can look at two different sides and think for themselves.
Yeah. I sometimes am a bit of a hardliner on such a thing. I think there is a time when, you know, there's you can have a legitimate debate, or when there can't be a legitimate debate. It's not a debate between equals, for example. Like, you know, let's say I'll put myself in the lower chair there. I won't raise myself on high. I'll say, you know, a debate between myself and perhaps a Harvard economics professor on the virtues of the Federal Reserve. Paul, those are odds would obviously be stacked against me as a former musical theater major. However, if you're looking at what we're talking about now in a modern context, you know, for example, I refuse to debate certain people. You know, there's an anarchist who has a big following online who I happen to think is distasteful, and he doesn't use proper methodology, and everybody wants me to debate him. But for me, it's sort of like, to me, it would be like the Chicago Bulls playing against the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, it's not really a game, you know, when you're not really, you may be thinking you're playing the same game, but like one is really just a show, like sort of a joke, and the other one's an actual team. And that's me, of course, putting myself up on a pedestal. But again, you know, I try to even it out. So yeah, you do need both sides of the debate, and I agree with you on that. But then can you agree sometimes too that it's not really debate when, you know, one side's a little bit nuts and the other one's like more serious?
Yeah, actually, I have an exact story. There's this group called Manhood Academy, and they are these extreme, like, they're not even men's rights or anything. They're just crazy, like, I guess, trolls. And all of their debates aren't debates. It's basically just them throwing out insults and being crazy. And this guy, like, he won't leave me alone. He keeps messaging me. It's like, oh, women are too stupid to debate me. And I'm like, all right, bye. And I'm just like, ignore them. But exactly, like, I think
debate
that person. They're not looking
for right. No, they want to just see us. They just want to see a series of spiking the balls in the end zone. Again, they want to watch the Harlem Globetrotters. You know what I mean? They want to go to they watch the Harlem Globetrotters game and think that that's a real game. They'll think, yeah, these are two real teams, and I can't believe that the Harlem Globetrotters can do such amazing tricks, and the other team just can't do anything. Yeah, because you're not watching a real game. You know what I mean? You're watching someone doing magic tricks and being stupid. A real game between two equals is something that it's a totally different battle. So now that we've sort of denigrated our enemies long enough, from an intellectual standpoint, what's next on your agenda? I mean, like, all of this kind of fun that you're having now, I mean, you're trolling the internet, you've got a million dweebs that are in love with you. I mean, you must be thinking about sort of like taking next steps and looking at expanding this message. I mean, what's the plans? What's the future plans, June?
I have no idea. I didn't even mean for this to all happen, so I'm a little unprepared. Right now I'm not taking it too seriously, but
maybe that's a secret. Maybe that's the secret. Just don't try too hard and you'll be successful.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, so that's I'm just going.
Well, you've been writing now for the Libertarian Republic here for about like a month and a half, and your pieces have done really well. People have been really excited to see that you've been putting out some pieces, doing some actual writing. So I think people will probably, you know, like they're behind me when I say, please write some more. Yeah. But what I want to know from you is like, do you have any plans to like further your education? I mean, are you just kind of going to go to autodidact university? I mean, would you like to work at a think tank? You know, would you want to be involved with politics on some level? Or is this just for you, just sort of a side activity?
Well, it's kind of a side activity right now, but I am thinking of going back to college soon. Mm-hmm. I do want to start writing more. I'm not sure. I'm not one of those people that really, it's a terrible thing, but I don't really think of the future much. And it scares me, but I'm kind of like living in the moment and not really sure where I'm going with it. But,
all right. Well, if your fans didn't have, I wouldn't ask you those questions if I know your fans didn't want to know, because I think you're developing a nice little following, and it's based around your wonderful personality, very talented writer and very talented satire artist. And I think everybody would love to see some more from you, June. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching the Freedom Report podcast. You can always find us going to libertarianrepublic.com. If you want to hear our show, you can go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy the Freedom Report podcast. And if you don't have an Apple device, you can also find us on Stitcher. Stitcher.com is the Android device you can get us on. Subscribe to the Freedom Report, leave us 5 stars, and don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the libertarianrepublic.com.